Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and take us into the depth and the realistic of thy word. Keep us, Father, upon that pathway of righteousness. And let the word spoken this evening be yours and not mine. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, eventually, I'm going to be getting into Romans chapter 8. But because of the day and time that we're living in, the Lord wanted me to share this with everyone today. I was hoping there'd be more here. There's supposed to be more. But I got some more excuses today. But anyway, we all need to remember it. And that's the 91st Psalm.
Yep.
Because that is about as close to talking about our day and time as you can get anywhere in the scripture, and letting us know how. And you know, the key that describes Psalms 91 actually is security. But we also find that there's two voices that speaks in Psalms 91. One is that we are being and getting the assurance of God's protection if we walk in faithfulness. And then we also have the voice of God himself speaking to us in this 91st Psalms. So as we take a look at it, the other night And I think what really got me thinking about this, I was watching a Jewish rabbi preaching about Christ. But he also put out a word that he said God told him that if the believers would recite this psalm to themselves 7 times, it would build their faith. Well, I don't know so much about that, because I haven't done that yet. But I will say this, it won't hurt it. Because Psalms 91 is very strong. Especially about the day that we're living in. So beginning here with verse 1, says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now we know who's speaking that. That's the author of the other Psalms that's speaking of that. He goes on too, and he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. But how many of us can really stand and proclaim that verse as being ours and it really be truth? There's a lot of lay claim to it. But they don't have it, and they really know it. Now, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Well, we're getting plenty of pestilence now around us, and it's all around us. In fact, it's all around the world right now. It's not just here in our land, but it's everywhere. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. But we're told in the New Testament to put on the whole armor of God. We're told about each piece of that armor, what it is. It says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. We're not to be afraid of anything if we are really and truly a born-again child of the living God. Because he don't give us a spirit of fear. We're not to walk in fear. We have fear all around us. Everywhere we go, we're seeing fear today, and people that's dealing with that. Not very often are you running into someone out there that really is not walking in fear. Now, he says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He's talking now here again about pestilence, but he's going to get even stronger yet with us. Because here in verse 7 he says, 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. His words tell us, we have nothing to fear. that pestilence and that we've got all around us out here that's causing so much fear. If we belong to him, he said it can't come nigh you. But he goes on to tell us even a little more. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You see, when we are born again, we are to be in him. And if we have made the Lord God our habitation, then we have no reason to walk in fear. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Not only can it not bother you, but it can't even come near your dwelling. But how many do you know today that is walking strong enough to live these verses? You don't see many. They're strictly walking and living in fear. Now, why? Why does he tell us such as that? He goes on to tell us here why. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Most of they don't even believe in God giving angels to his people. But he does. And his word tells us that he does. But yet, they want to sit back. And for the most part, they call God a liar. Now, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. They'll keep you from making mistakes. They'll keep you from falling.
But those same words are what Satan used to Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Identical same words.
Yeah.
I use that to teach people that, see, the devil knows the word.
Oh, yes.
I know, but a lot of people don't know that.
No, they don't know it, and when you tell them, they don't believe it.
But that's verbatim exactly what he told Jesus, right?
Yep.
His own word.
God's
word on God.
He knows this word, actually, better than most of us will ever know it.
Right.
He just don't live it. He ain't about to live it, because he wants to exalt himself above the Lord God. In verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. That's letting you and I know that we walk with an awful lot of power, don't we? We've got a lot of power within us. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. There's an awful lot in there for you and I. And if we will actually take it and put it in our hearts and begin to live it and then bring it back out and make it a living word, we'll find we can reach more people because we all have others that's watching us. We've got family that watches us. In fact, your family will watch you a whole lot more than other people, really. And they're quicker to cut you down. And they're going to throw every mistake you make at you. That's why we need to walk filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, so that that's what they see and they're not seeing us. And then we'll find that we can reach a lot more of them than really what we do. And 15. No, 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. But will you? You that are here in this morning or this evening, when he calls on you, will you hear him? And even more than that, will you answer him? I think we just had some more people come in. In fact, I think it was two that was using the excuse of not being here. I'm pretty sure they're pulling in out there. Kenny's out there on the phone. His job's called him, I guess. All right, now. And here with the last verse, says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalms 91 is a very strong word of God. Very strong. All right, now, we're going to come on back here. Yeah, that's the two of them. I'm going to wait for them to get in here. It's Dave and Sue. All right. So we're going to come on down here now. He had to go to the restroom. To chapter 8 of Romans. We started through this here the other day, but we only got to the third verse because God brought something else in there on us. Because I'm wanting to take the church through the New Testament. And so far, we've made it to chapter 8 of Romans. So beginning with verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm going to stop there and back up here a little bit to the very beginning. We started out with the 91st Psalm. I shared that because we are living in a day and time where we all need to live that 91st Psalm. And we need to be living our lives without fear. But for the most part, everybody we see today is walking in fear. And God don't give us a spirit of fear. Not when we belong to him. But there's so many out here today claiming to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't. They're just as lost as they can be. And we got a lot of them in the podiums that are just as lost. They're dying, going to hell, and taking their congregation with them. And that's the biggest part of our worldly churches out here. They went and put up walls, built walls. They don't call them walls to cause division. But instead of calling them walls, they call them denomination.
Yeah, I talked to a lady, and she got a woman as a pastor, and I showed her the scripture, right?
Uh-huh.
She confronted her about it. She didn't have nothing to say. I'm like, well, she can't say nothing. Is she going to tell you I don't belong up here? She can't. I mean, she... What can you
say? But see, this is the thing. People don't want to admit. And they want to make excuses. Excuses are not going to get you into heaven. You can have all the good intentions in the world. But intentions are not going to get you into heaven either. It's how you live your life. And we all need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. This first verse here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a whole lot to be said right there in that first verse. Not to walk in the flesh. Why? Because this flesh is wanting everything this world's got out here to offer it.
What he said, there's no good thing in the flesh.
That's right. There is. There's no good thing in the flesh until you get rid of it. Now, once you become that born-again child of God, then you don't have evil in there. That flesh has been dead. It died with Jesus. It died with him on the cross. And we are to walk filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And when you have that spirit in you, then there's no fear in there. Because the spirit is not going to live in a place where there's fear. Won't do it. We are to walk by faith. And we are to walk in the spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It freed me from that. So why should I walk in fear of it when I've been freed from it? You see, if I do, if I walk in fear and I haven't accepted that word and walk accordingly, then what I'm doing with my life is telling the Lord, I don't believe a word you're telling me. And in a way, I'm calling him a liar. Well, that sure ain't going to get me to heaven as my home to start calling my Lord a liar and that his word's no good. But that's what's happening a lot all around us. And it's not just a few places. It's more places than what's doing and teaching the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to make a strong statement right now. A strong one. I cannot name you not one church here in Meade County today that's teaching this word like I teach it. Not one. And we got a lot of churches out here in this county. A lot of communities has got two or three churches in it. Little community where I live. There's one out kind of northwest of Brandenburg there. But the main one is on further west.
I haven't heard their teaching in a long time, but they were pretty good.
I'll be honest with you, really, the truest church we've got today preaching, besides here, because you know you're getting the word because you follow me. But if you don't want to come here, then find you a Mennonite church and get in it. Because they're going to be according to that word there.
Right.
Well, Pastor, how do you know that? I get their book every other month. Their teaching every other month. I met one back, I guess about 3 years now, down in Irvington. I'd been looking for them because I had heard something about their teaching. These two ladies came out of the dollar store, and I knew they were Mennonite from the way they were dressed. Because Mennonite ladies don't dress like the Amish. Close, but not like them. Because they can wear brighter colors and all than the Amish ladies can. The Mennonite ladies will speak to a man and talk with him. Amish lady won't. She won't talk to you. They came out and I stopped them. I got in the car In fact, I was getting relieved when they come out. And I had Libby with me. And I told her, I said, I don't need to talk to them two ladies. So I got out, stopped them. I told them, I said, I was looking for a couple of your men folk. I'd like to talk to them. And the one told me, she said, well, if you give me your telephone number, I'll have my husband call you. So I did. I gave it to her. He called that night, and I set up a meeting with him, about an hour, hour and a half with him. We had a real good talk and all. He took my name and my address and all down. Come time for their next book, I got one. And I've been getting one every other month now for the past 3 years. I know a lot about their teaching. I know a lot about the way they live. And they'll live closer to this New Testament than anybody I know. And their belief, what they believe in, is on the front cover, just as you open it up, on the front cover of these books. Their belief, what they believe in. I've had two Mennonite couples here in church come here. They sat through the service. They got ready to leave, and they told me, they said, really enjoyed your service. They was looking for a church because their church was splitting. Now, that's something unusual. But they didn't say why. They didn't say whether it was overgrowth, you know. And I didn't ask. I didn't push them. I just told them, I said, well, you're welcome to come here and work with me. And he looked at me, and I told him, I said, you can come here, and if you'd like, I'll let you have Sunday morning service. But they was really looking for one that they could make a Mennonite church out of. But they enjoyed the service. And the men and the ladies both shook hands with me and told me they really enjoyed the service. And like I said, I'm still getting the books. And I told them, because one couple told me, said, you know, we wasn't sure we'd be welcome. I said, what did you see on the sign out there? He said, well, everybody's welcome. I said, that's right. And it's men. He said, yeah, but we wasn't sure because of her headpiece. I told him, I said, I've got nothing against her coming in here with something on her head. I told him, I said, I've got ladies that come here. They come in wearing hats. I don't tell them to take it off. Now you a man, you come through the door. You keep your hat on, I'm going to tell you to take it off. But the lady, no. I told him, I said, now, I don't look at it like you all look at it. But I don't see anything wrong in it. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you why I don't look at it like you all look at it. And he looked at me. And I told him, I said, you know, the word tells us that a woman is not to pray to God uncovered. I said, I understand that. And I understand why you all are doing what you're doing. But by the same token, the reason I don't accept it that way, I told him, I said, I think back when you all started pulling away from the Amish, because that's where they came from. They came off of the Amish Mennonite did. The Amish believes in the Old Testament. And the Mennonites don't. They strictly New Testament. I told him, I said, you know, the word also tells you that God, they're not to cut their hair because God gave them their hair for a covering. They've got their covering. I told them, I said, but I'm not against them coming in, a lady coming in here with a hat on or a covering on. And I told them, I said, I'll tell you something else. I believe you all's ladies could really be a help to ours. Because I like the way they dress. They're covered. They ain't out here showing everything they got. They never did come back. Now, I've talked to the one couple there several times since they left. But, and I've been thinking about going down to Cloverport, because that's where their main church is at. And I've been thinking about going down there on Wednesday night and visiting with them. See how welcome I'd be in theirs. I got along with these two couples real good. But I've been thinking very seriously about going on Wednesday night, and I've got Wednesday night clear, going down and visiting with them and listening to their preacher. And I do know a lot about their teaching because, like I said, that's all these books you get. It's got a teaching for every day of the month. And they cover 2 months at a time, so they cover. In fact, the last one I got, I think I've got about 3 more days and it's finished. And I enjoy it. And that their belief is so close to ours right here, I could have written it.
Yeah, I like your
Yeah,
those stories are really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those little daily teachings.
Did you bring one to the church for Sunday?
Huh? Yeah, I'm going to bring Dennis one because I do want him to see him because he hears me talk about him. In fact, I can even give you all one because I've got several. And still around home. And I will. I'll bring you all one if you want one. Because let me tell you something. They live closer to this New Testament than anyone I know of. They raise their kids by this book. The only thing that I don't see the way they do. And as I told him, back when they first started out and they pulled away from Amish, some man took a notion that he wanted to lord it over the ladies, so he wanted to put that little bun on their head. This is what I told him. I told him, I said, because the good Lord has told you that he gave them their covering, and they're not to cut it. Nor are a woman ain't supposed to braid their hair. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
No, they ain't.
A woman is supposed to cut her hair at
all. Well, let me just go back there and get it. I don't want to tell you something I don't want to tell you no story that I can't prove. Go back here now. Get that. Go here to 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter. All right. I'll just start here with verse 8 of 2nd chapter. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women, even as you have dressed, adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair. Braided means plait, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Because you see, he don't look on the outward. He looks on the inward. He don't look at the outward beauty. And today, boy, that don't go among the women folk, because they dress for nothing but outside beauty. And most of them don't cover enough for actually that they ought to stay out of jail. You can take most of your 16, 17, 18-year-old girls that's out here and walk them down the street, and they'll cause more men to sin just by walking down the street from the way they're dressed. And there was a time I was that way, so I know what I'm talking about. I mean, I never did feel that. No. But when I really got with the Lord, and when the Spirit started working with me, now I can look at that same woman, and to me, the first thing that pops in my head is, she don't think nothing of herself. That's the first thing that pops in my head. And that's what will pop in the head of most good men. They're not looking out there and saying, well, you know, I'd like to get a hold of that. There was time I did. But now, it's just she don't care nothing about herself. And I've got on them in church. I stopped even preaching one day. I preached, and this lady come in. She's a grown lady in her mid to late 20s. I'm in a black church. The only white man there. And I'm a preaching. She comes in, comes down the aisle, comes front row. Got on a micro mini, not a mini, a micro mini. Sit down in the front row. Every now and then, across that leg, way up high, look at me and disagree. 2 minutes later, the other way. Look at me and grin. I stopped preaching. I told him, I said, you know, we got a young lady in here that don't know how to keep herself covered up. If she covers herself up, we'll get back with a message. She got up and left. After services, the deacon told me, he said, you run her off. I said, no, I didn't. Spirit did. And I told him what she's doing. Oh, well, she didn't mean it. I told him, I said, don't say nothing. She came back the next week. She come back. She was dressed right. She went to the altar, gave her heart to God. And the last I know of, she was a member of that church and working in that church. If I hadn't have told her, she'd have never changed. That's why I don't back up off of no subject.
Oh, I know that. I'm going to look at the time you told me. I even regarded the fact that and my brain is a guy.
I told you the truth, didn't I?
Oh, anytime you can stand up, put two fingers to her hand.
Yeah.
Put them down like this, bang, and she tied. She came to back there, David. She tied. You should have kept
yourself. I told you, didn't I?
Yeah. I was cold. You stopped me. You're saying the same thing, right?
But see, There is so much in the Word of God that we don't share with the public and with the people. And it's going to cause a lot of them to miss making heaven their home. Where if we would have told them, they would probably have changed. Just as that one. And I preached a whole 30-day revival in another church. There again in a black church. I'm doing a white man there. Oh, good Lord, he puts you into places that make you wonder. Get down to my last sermon, one of the ministers that had come up forward and come up and sat up with me on the platform asked me, said, you ever met the pastor of this church? I said, no. He said, come on, I'm going to introduce you to the pastor. When I asked if there's any pastors in the congregation, they was hands going up here and there. Pastor of the church didn't come up. Stayed out in the congregation. But I had 9 pastors up there with me. He took me out there and introduced me to one of the cutest little black girls you ever seen. She was the pastor of that church. I was preaching on women against church, women being pastors. She looked up at me and she said, you know, I didn't know that was in there. I just looked at her and I told her, I said, well, you know it now. I closed out and went home. I lived in Florida. Time. Got home. A couple weeks later, I got a letter from her. Pastor Tony, she said, I'm no longer pastor of the church. My associate pastor was my fiance. He is now the pastor of the church. She had stepped down. You see, if you work with God, he'll work with you. But you have to work with him. And listen when he talks. I've made mistakes, yes. Even in my ministry days. He was going to change me from one church to another. And I told him, I said, yeah, I'll go. But I was in the middle of painting a house, and I told him, I said, but now, Lord, I'll go next week. I got to finish this house. Well, I did. I finished that house, got my car, and I went 3 states away from home. Took the route he gave me. Pulled out in front of the church. Secretary of that church lived across the road from the church. She seen me pull the driveway. Come over and asked me, says, can I help you? I told her, I said, well, I understand the church here is looking for a pastor. She said, we hired one yesterday. You see, I went on my time instead of God's time. I missed that church. I'll never know where I would have been today if I had took that church. When he says move, he means move. Then, you don't have to know how. He can tell you something, and you may be not even able to see how I can do it. But just start. He'll make a way. He's already got it figured out for you. Just like he's talking to me about this, about what to do with this church. Well, I'm in the process of making the change. Because I've learned better than not to start moving. Now, what he'll do about it, I don't know. He's already got it figured out. He just ain't told it all to me yet. If it's to be here, he'll make a way for it to be here. And if it's to be somewhere else, then he'll let me know and he'll move me. But as of right now, I don't know. I'm hoping to stay here and to go on with the plans that we all know about. But, you see.
His will be done.
Yep. It's up to him. Now, You know, this 8th chapter is hard for me to get through. I ain't making it too far. This 8th chapter. He keeps adding on to me. Now, but we're told not to walk after the flesh, to walk after the spirit. And you know, the three of us has had talks several times about things, and we're all family here. And like I've told y'all, a lot of people will tell you what you're doing is wrong. Because you're living together and you're divorced. And a lot of people tell you that's wrong. No. It's not, as I've told you. Now, you can make it wrong. But as long as you keep sex out of it, and you keep nudity out of it, there's nothing wrong with it.
See, there is something wrong with it, I think. The dad's got dementia, and he's like too hard. Sometimes I have to help him keep himself clean.
But see, that's different, hon.
Different?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that's different because that's not caused from lust.
Okay.
See, we're talking about lust. That's not caused from lust. That is care. 18 years I worked in the hospital. I had more women patients than I had men. Women that I didn't know other than right there in the hospital, you know. And I've had to even go when they would be sent home with dressings and things and with different bags on them to take care of them. There's nothing wrong with that. That's care. Now, you can make it wrong, yes. But as long as the lust is left out of it, there's no lust there. There's nothing wrong with it because, as I told you all the other day, you two had been married. Well, yeah, twice, but anyway, you've been married. Now, take Dennis and his wife. Now, of course, they're married. But you take them. They get divorced. But she needs care. It's his responsibility to see to her care. For him to shake that responsibility is wrong. If he has to take and strip her and put her in a bathtub and give her a bath, or a shower, or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. Because you see, as long as the lust is left out of it, that's what's wrong, is the lust. You can make a lot of things wrong that takes not a thing in the world wrong with you. I can come to your house and do... In fact, you don't know, you never know when I'm coming, do you? Sometimes three or four times a week.
Okay, that's pastor.
I can come to your house, and you can offer me a cup of coffee. I can make that wrong.
Really?
Yeah. All I've got to do is say, now, Sue, I can't drink that coffee. That's bad for me. I didn't make it bad for you, but I made it bad for me. I said so. I made it wrong for me. That's how easy it is. That's why we have to watch what we say and what we do. And one of the hardest things and something that I'm seeing an awful lot of is excuses. And I've been on both of you about that. Ain't I? Because when you make the excuses to stay out of church, to stay away from the Lord and His Word, it's no good. He's not going to accept excuses. And He tells us He won't. But He's not going to accept them. And this is why I want to take the church through the New Testament. Now, Kenny's been with me long enough, and another teaching that he and I had going, we've been completely through. In fact, at one time, we went through the whole Bible, didn't we, Kenny?
Yep.
I took them from Genesis all the way through. And then a couple of times we've been through the New Testament already. And I'm going now again. But the thing about it is, we need to come together, because when we're together, there's more power. Now today, we've got more power in the church today than we've had for a little while. Because today, you got three ministers here. Well, all three, if they've got the Holy Spirit, you've got all the power in this church you need. And that's what God's Word tells us. And we are going to do something. In fact, I told you the other day. I don't think I got to tell him, but I told you. I told you what he missed last Thursday. Well, we're going to pray for Dave tonight. And we're going to pray for his problem, one of his problems tonight. And we're going to see God take care of that. Because he's got a problem like I fought for a long time. That's a kidney problem. Now, what's the matter with you? I pray for you every day, but what's the matter with you? Huh? We've done seen your hands heal. Now what else is hurting? You have to tell me what.
My legs.
We all are, right?
They said they're rough as arteries.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good Lord, take care of that just like he did your hands. How about you two joining me?
Put a little orange, but I'm going to let you know it hurt. And I'm going to let you know him. You know it hurt. Well, this, no, this one hurts.
Right. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Dennis, keep your hand on it. Touch him. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we anoint these two, we anoint them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, you know each and every pain they have. Now, Father, we're asking for that healing power. That healing power that comes from the stripes of Jesus that he bore on the cross and has given us that healing. Father, Touch her. Be it her back or leg, Father. Touch David. Heal that kidney problem, Heavenly Father. Stop it now. Father, you know what's causing this dementia. Father, healing from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And we ask this all in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll call it done. Thank you, Jesus, for this healing, Father. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, just continue, both of you. Continue thanking him for your healing. You may not see it right now.
Thank you.
But somewhere down the road, you'll find out it's happened. You see, sometimes he'll do it right then, and sometimes, because he knows when you can really accept things. And it don't always work according to our time, but it works by his time. I know I've asked him several times about healing, and I know he can do it right now, but there've been times when he ain't. There's been times he's let me go a month or two. But then one day, he'd come to me. You know, I ain't got that no more. It's gone. I wouldn't even know when it left. It just was gone. And then I'd realize, you know. So, all right. We're going to close out now. I'm about 3 minutes overdue, which ain't nothing new. I was talking to an older gentleman at the Beehive. Y'all know what the Beehive is. You do, don't you, Dennis?
Old folks home.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm known there as the long-winded preacher.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm the long-winded preacher there. There's an old man there. Well, I call him an old man. He's older. He's probably in his man's early 70s. He takes real short steps. On walk. He's the one who calls me the long-winded preacher.
Oh.
I told him, I said, you know, there was one time I was preaching a little country church out in back of McDaniel's down here. And I wasn't the one that was supposed to be preaching that night. The one that was supposed to be preaching couldn't make it. So they just called on me to do it. I ended up preaching that night 2 hours, 45 minutes. I said, how'd you like to sit through that? He said, I wouldn't. I'd have left. I told him, I said, there wasn't nobody left. So you wouldn't have left either. He's looked at me and laughed. I said, now you think I'm long-winded. Well, how'd you like to sit through one of them? No, no, no. But then when I was finished with the Bible study Tuesday, he come to me. Said, I really enjoyed it, shook my hand and all, and shook hands with me. Said, you know, I really enjoyed it. He said, I'll see you next Tuesday. I go there every Tuesday at 2 o'clock for Bible study. And he'll start the minute he comes in. He'll start on me. Now, how long are you going to be today? Well, I don't know, maybe an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't know, we'll see. And I finally did tell him Tuesday. I told him, I said, well, I'm scheduled for an hour each Tuesday. And I try to keep it there, right around that. But there's usually about 15 or so of them there for the Bible study. All right, let us go to Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word,
We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, the land that turned its back on Jesus, on your church, no excuse whatsoever. Father, help us to replace those that are in our leadership positions that's against your church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with those that will work for your church, for Jesus, and work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being, Father, your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is spoke, Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to bring about whatever need they have, whether it be physical, spiritual, or financial. Now, Father, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, for Sue and Dave, for myself, for Mark Pavlik, for Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom Jung's son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. Father, these all, touch them in great and mighty ways, Father. Bring about the healing that is needed, whatever that healing is. Now, Father, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, fill them. Fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches on the pathway of righteousness. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands. That little full gospel church of God there at Ekron, Father, not only a lighthouse, make it a place of refuge. And Father, put one in there that will take the Holy Spirit in and keep that little church filled with the Spirit so that it can reach out to those in the community and round about. Now, Father, for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Ira, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Palin Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, Father. These all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them, Father, in a great and mighty way. Touch them so they'll know that it is you, Father, touching them and not man. And Father, we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, remember, come Sunday morning, 11 a.m., God willing, we can all be together again and back into the Word of God. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Good evening, everyone.